In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As some of you might know, after college, I entered the Peace Corps. I imagined myself, before I went, in a remote village in Latin America teaching primary students while working with teachers. I imagined learning how to cook over an open fire or walking a while for running water. In Peace Corps, you get to choose what region you'd prefer to be with, and after a four-hour interview, I was nominated for that region, Latin America. And I was so excited. The day finally came. A thick, huge envelope came with my new assignment. And I ripped open the folder and opened up the package, and in it was this big white folder. And I opened the package and it said, "We are honored, blah, 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 to join us, blah, 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 to Bulgaria." Hold on a minute. I had to read the thing three times to realize it wasn't saying Bolivia, it was saying Bulgaria. Where on earth? What on earth? So I looked it up and saw pictures. And here's a place, Eastern Europe. It's got running water. It's got electricity. No open fires. How is this place Peace Corps again? Well, less than 5 months after I received that envelope, I moved into my new apartment, starting my assignment in Bulgaria, in the middle of an industrial center, a city. I like to call it the Detroit of Bulgaria, full of factories. You know, we teased about it before we went into our assignments. Peace Corps light, that's what we were doing, living the life. We would watch videos of Africa during training and think, there's no way we can ever relate to that. But we had no idea that the difficulty of living in Eastern Europe when I did wasn't what was on the surface. It was what was underneath the surface. It was deceptively comfortable. I lived in an apartment, running water, a stove, everything one might need. But you see, one of the major difficulties is that things like power, water, heat, and electricity only worked about 70% of the time. So just enough really to rely on them, to expect them. And then bam, no heat. Or bam, no vegetables. Or bam, no power, no water. No exclamation, just that's the way it was. And I remember that first year learning those hard bams. The bottom of my experience, where it all just fell apart. I woke up and the chill was in the air, so I thought, chili, I'm going to make chili. And I had planned on it, so I soaked some beans overnight. And my day started sliding down when the heat stopped. That's independent of the electricity. And so I opened up the oven, and I started warming the kitchen by the oven, and began to make the beans. And I realized the beans had bugs in them. After you soaked them, you can see the bugs come out. So no chili. And after a while, as like a cup of tea, I put the water on to boil and my power shorted. So there I was in the dark and I began to cry. So I walked across town to call my mother. And I got to the post office, that's where you made international phone calls, and just enough to say hi, and we were disconnected. It hadn't happened like this before. And I called again, and just got enough of the conversation to just say a few sentences, and I got disconnected again, and I ran out of money. It was very expensive to do this. So I walked home, defeated, and slipped on the ice. Enough was enough. Every which way that I tried to comfort myself, I found it didn't work. Needless to say, that afternoon I got on the first bus to the nearest friend. But that was a dark moment, my Peace Corps experience. In the gospel, Jesus and his disciples were coming out of this very glorious temple. The temple was an amazing piece of ingenuity. The very smallest of those stones that built the temple were 2 to 3 tons. And many of them weighed 50 tons. And the largest stone, part of the Wailing Wall, is 12 meters in length and 3 meters high and weighed hundreds of tons. So if you can just imagine, this is huge. So no mortar could really support the temple. They had to use rocks to support them. Just the weight of the stones alone created the structure. And they towered over 400 feet in one area. So it's said that during Jesus' time, I read this somewhere, that 250,000 people could fit into it comfortably. That's really amazing. It was the center of Jewish culture and life. It was a place for pilgrimage and sacrifice. It was the earthly home for God. Without the temple, Jewish culture as it was during Jesus' time would be and was lost. Shortly before the gospel, or maybe even during the writing of the Gospel of Mark, the temple was destroyed by the Romans to quash our Jewish rebellion. Jesus said, "Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. When you hear of wars or rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Jesus' warning was how life can really throw you a curveball. It's a stark reminder that if we hold on to man-made things as the foundation of our life, as a way to find comfort or support, we might find ourselves sitting in the dark, in the cold, with buggy beams. It's our nature to build our lives on stones, just as the early Jews did. We fill our lives with stones. We build our dreams and our hopes and aspirations with stones. What about some stones in your life? Maybe living in a safe community? Living in a home that keeps us dry and warm? Financial security? Maybe a long list of accomplishments that you've gained, or your job? Or maybe even the people we surround ourselves that love us. So today's gospel is a stark reminder that the only thing constant in life is change. Again, life has a way of throwing curveballs. But today's story really isn't supposed to be a warning. It's supposed to be a story of hope. Jesus says, "Do not be alarmed." Are you kidding me? Do not be alarmed? Don't worry. Everything you're finding your foundation on changes and can disappear. We have to truly understand this scripture. We have to kind of set ourselves outside of it. We have to realize what kind of writing it is. It's a writing called, it's crisis literature. It's writing that was written during a crisis. We read other types of crisis literature, not just the section of Mark. Revelation's another example of it. Daniel. And some scholars say Hebrews was written during crisis time. It's a time of great turmoil. The whole world is falling apart for these writers. And it offers hope that God is struggling with you, that God will vindicate the faithful. If we were to keep reading in Mark, it says at the end, "The one who endures in the end will be saved." If the world is crazy, never fear. God has not abandoned you. You see, Jesus didn't say these words to comfort just one set of people, his disciples, or they weren't said just for the first readers of Mark. He said it to comfort us as well. We live in a world where we can remember times when the ground shook and our homes were destroyed, where a war took a loved one, or an ocean swallowed a whole city. Jesus is comforting us in these words. God is on our side. Change may be a constant in our world, But God's the only thing eternal and everlasting. When we lean into God and we build our trust on the Holy Spirit, what we build our foundation on is eternal. So rather than building our lives on those stones that will someday change, Jesus is reminding us to build our lives on God. As disciples of Christ, we are bringing to fruition the kingdom of God, being the working hands of God. Stone by stone, we'll build a new world, a world that isn't destructible. So I wonder what it looks like to build your foundation on God. I think it takes a lot of prayer to trust the Holy Spirit, to open yourself up to God in order so that you may listen to God. I also think it's part of being in a community of believers, so that together we can proclaim what God is calling us to do, so together we can support each other. And I think it also is really important to be bold in doing what the Holy Spirit asks us to do. We must remember that we are being pushed towards building our foundation, our lives on foundation that is unstable. We're pushed that way. We're pushed that way by society. We're pushed that way by just the way life is. And that we as a community are called to lean the other direction. As it says in Hebrews, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he has promised is faithful. Provoke one another to love and good deeds. Provoke one another to love. Encourage one another. Let us pray. God, may we feel your presence when we're in the dark and in the cold. May we breathe when we feel that fear and anxiety build up and within us. May we build our foundation of our lives on being a disciple of you, Christ. Help us, God. Help us build a foundation that will last forever. In your name we pray. Amen.